Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to another episode of the program. The teacher with me, Atta, the host of this program. I have two special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Rouhani and Sayyid Mahdi. Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Sayyid Mahdi, assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
All right, inshallah, in this episode, we continue our discussion on the topic Ma'rifat al-Nafs, or self-knowledge. In our three previous episodes, we tried to give our dear listeners, some of the grounds in which Ma'rifat al-Nafs can be improved. We talked about the general definition, some practical guidelines, how to distinguish between authentic and unauthentic resources. In this episode, we want to talk about do's and don'ts. Sayyid Mahdi, what to do and what not to do in order to find self-knowledge or self-recognition in our ordinary lifestyle? This is a major question. I'm thinking something that becomes a habit for us. I mean, every day that we wake up in the morning, we find it with a kind of self-knowledge approach or self-recognition approach. How should we do that? What are the do's? What are the don'ts?
Yeah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So, I think over the last few episodes, we've talked about the importance of knowing the self, of this self-recognition, of this ma'rifatun nafs. We talked about its importance. We also talked a little bit about how if we don't have this concept and this knowledge of the self, how it will lead us astray. But if we do know the self and we do know where we came from, we do know where we're going, our purpose in life, the meaning of life, the objective of life, then this will guide us, right? I think there are many do's and don'ts. I just want to pick on one thing and then kind of see where the discussion goes. Of course, when it comes to the Islamic tenets and the Islamic principles, this idea of wajibat, obligatory things, and muharramat, the haram things, these are there. But before we go into those kind of virtues and vices that we, you know, virtues that we should inculcate in ourselves and vices that we should stay away from, one of the things that we'll have to do fundamentally is to detach ourselves from this very material aspect of the world, right? Whether it's materialism, whether it's worldliness, and of course, each one of these are very vast discussions.
That's right.
But one of the easiest things to do is, you know, we've kind of brought up this whole social media addiction, this addiction to reels and shorts and media. This kind of media that we are consuming on a very massive level,
yes,
is one of the biggest obstacles to self-recognition.
Very good.
And if we want to be able to embark upon this journey of self-recognition and reach that ultimate prosperity and that ultimate happiness, both in this world and the next world, we're going to have to cut ourselves from this one major obstacle, mm-hmm, which takes away all of our attention. It takes away all of our time. It takes away all of our energy, all, yeah, of our efforts, you know, and it's a constant, right, thing that is distracting us from ourselves.
It was, a campaign, no to cell phone, during the holy month of Ramadan in some of the masajid in Iran.
Interesting.
This year, I found it very much interesting. Some of these majalis were to be done when the people were entering the mosque. They were obliged to leave their phone,
yeah,
and the cell phones in the boxes before they get into the mosque. And we can say a majlis without a cell phone or a majlis without a phone,
yeah,
was recommended by some of the brothers and sisters here in the whole city of Qom and some of the majalis in, yeah, Iran. I really liked it. And what happened if during the whole month of Ramadan, or at least during the i'tikaf time, okay, some of the specific occasions, the majalis during the month of Muharram, we forget about the cell phone and about the news. At least not be obsessed with that. So the people and the Muslims used to open their eyes in the morning to the text of the Holy Quran and du'as here and that in the masajid. And now they open up their cell phone, the light of cell phone in their eyes in the early morning. Shaykh Rouhani, so please you give us some of the do's and don'ts regarding self-knowledge. Some people might say that inside religious circles, Islamic religious Shia circles, there are some people who help you in order to find self-knowledge through Irfan. or a type of mysticism. At the end of the day, Ma'rifatun Nafs is a mystical, irfani type of style. It has its own problems too. It has its own deviations and misguidance too. Okay, what to do in order not to get into the traps of so-called irfani mystical circle, Shaykh?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think one of the ways or methods that could be applied here to know the soul and the nafs, and particularly the dependence of nafs and soul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala existentially. What matters most for us as Muslimin and Mu'mineen is this, that we should find our nafs, our soul, as a kind of creature which is entirely and categorically dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala existentially. Once we understood it, we would practically follow truly the true teachings of Islam and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salatu was-salam. To know this dependence, some practical ways that our ulama and the scholars suggested, which are really practical and which are really useful and helpful, is this, that according to the scholars, we should always think about this, that when we live in this world, every moment our life is dependent on, for example, breathing. Because if we cannot breathe in this world, we will not survive, we cannot live anymore. Then we should concentrate on the process, on the mechanism of this breathing, that how does it happen?
Yes.
They say that if you focus on this breathing, you see that inside your body there are some, let's say, organisms that are working within your body out of your control. It means that you do not have any control on, for example, your heart, on your brain, for example, on your lungs, for example, on all those organisms that are working within your body. You have no control on them. They are working by themselves naturally.
Yes.
And then when you breathe, for example, you take oxygen from outside. On this oxygen that your life is dependent, again, you have no control. When you are born in this world, this oxygen is prepared for you, as you are provided with this naturally. So you have no control on outside natural kind of things that you are dependent on. And you have no control on inside organs that you that your life is dependent on them.
That's right.
So you have no control on inside and outside. Let's see the connection between this outside and inside is through breathing.
All right.
This breathing itself also naturally happens. You have no control on it.
Right.
You naturally breathe.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole life, the entire life is dependent on these three things, on which, on none of which you have any control.
That's right.
The question is that the entire life, the whole life of you is dependent on something that you have no control on them.
All right.
They are all outside your control.
Okay.
Then they say that you should ask yourself that, okay, if my life is dependent on these things on which I have no control, how do I live in this world every moment? You see, I'm alive still.
Yes.
I'm alive, but I have no any control on these things.
That's right.
So who is providing me with life?
Mm-hmm.
Because I myself have no control.
Yes.
I'm not living by my own self. Because on these things that my life is dependent, they are outside of my control.
That's right.
So if you find yourself such dependent on another existent who is providing you with every moment with life, then you would understand that, okay, that existent, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he decides for a single moment not to let you live anymore,
all right,
then this process and mechanism will not work. Because they are already out of your control.
Good.
And they are being controlled by someone else.
That's right.
Yeah?
That's
so that's why your life is totally and categorically dependent on the will of that creator, or let's say the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why the urafa and the philosophers are of the view that if you found yourself such dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that in every single moment of life you are dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will never forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
Then you will never disfollow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
Then you will never ignore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will and, let's say, injunctions, and let's say...
Allah will be an inevitable part of your
commandments,
life.
Commandments, yeah.
That's right.
And you will be fully obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every moment of life.
Okay.
And this is the final level of ma'rifatun nafs.
Yes.
That you find your nafs completely dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala momently. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, this is the very practical kind of suggestion that is suggested by some of the scholars, and it's really practical. And everybody can just focus and ponder on it and find himself that much dependent.
That's right. This is the true meaning of taqwa too, or God-wariness, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran says. We can say, that's right, being submissive to the status of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the true meaning of taqwa. Okay.
IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
One of the concerns of the today's family are the children, Said Mehdi.
Yes.
I mean, and the children are the target audience of some of these satanic companies all around the world.
Yes.
Sexually speaking, in order to change their knowledge about their surrounding up to an extent that their perspective will be totally changed. Not only as a Muslim or a Christian or a Jew, as a believing, faithful believer in his religion, but as a human being. I mean, they even change it from a human being into animalistic values.
Hmm.
What to do, what not to do regarding this one? I mean, how in order to help them, in order to help the young generation to have a better understanding about themselves and the philosophy of the creation?
Yeah, this is a very important point. And I think it's something that many times is not discussed as much as it should. This idea that the younger generation, children, are a target of this satanic movement, if you will, in order to make them forget themselves. And the younger that you can infiltrate a child's mind, the more they fall into the grip of these kind of satanic movements.
That's right.
You know, sometimes we think satanic movement and we think it's some kind of a conspiracy theory or it's some kind of crazy idea. I mean, when we're talking about satanic movements, it's really any movement that is there to lead people astray. So whether it is these capitalist, consumerist, materialist powers or philosophies which are leading people astray, whether it is the Hollywood or drugs or alcohol or music industries that are leading people astray, or whether it's the, you know, communist systems of the world or the dictatorships of the world,
that's right,
again, that are leading people astray. The common denominator of these movements is that they lead people astray. Once they lead people astray, then it is directly or indirectly a satanic movement.
Okay.
So all of these, what they're doing is trying to take control of children at a very young age.
Young
if people
age,
do
right.
research, there's very scary things going on a global level as far as the sexualization of young children. So what do we do? Well, we have to be very careful what our children watch and the media that they consume. One of the main ways of infiltrating the minds and changing the self-recognition of these children is via media, cartoons, animations, movies.
Especially animations nowadays. The people might think, okay, this is a mere cartoon or animation.
No, it's not a mere cartoon.
But lots of content.
There's a lot of sexualization going on in animations and cartoons. If you go and do a little bit of research, for example, the Disney movie industry, which is probably one of the strongest, most powerful industries in the world when it comes to children's animations, their CEO has said that by a certain date, we want 50% of these characters to represent some form of LGBTQ.
Wow.
So either they're going to be lesbians or gays or queers or transgender, 50% of their characters.
Wow.
So that shows you how they're totally changing the self-recognition at a very young age of children, and they're doing it openly, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be very careful what our children consume.
That's
on one
right.
side. And on the other side, we have to provide them with this marifat of the nafs, right?
Very
this
good.
Reading of the Holy Quran, this traditions of the Ahlul Bayt, these, you know, the teachings of various scholars, so that we nourish their souls on one side, and we help them to stay away from toxic and poisonous things on the other side.
That's right. May Allah help us to provide our children with good stuff. Another way is to, we can say, that's right, employees, but it's say an akhlaqi tutor or something, an authentic one, okay?
Mm.
Sometimes the parents themselves are not capable of doing so or guiding the children to the right path and stuff. I mean, here is the way for the spiritual teachers or the tutors and the mentors. The people from the houses, especially because you have enough knowledge about Hadith and Quran, at least once in a week to attend their classes and to enjoy their materials over there. Thank you very much, Sayyid Mahdi and Shaykh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration. This was our last episode regarding the topic Ma'rifat al-Nafs. I hope that our dear listeners enjoyed it. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. Please, for more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Another episode. God bless you. Afiyam and Allah.